I've always said that if I wasn't in the band I'm in, I would be its biggest fan. I love our band, and there is no other music I want to play, and there is no other band I want to be in. But if I could choose a pinch-hitting fallback or maybe deputize a temporary substitute, it might very well be Fucked Up, a punk band from my hometown of Toronto that have very loudly captured the crown in many music circles, and they've done it with a string of fantastic records like Hidden World, The Chemistry of Common Life, and their brilliant release from last year, David Comes to Life. Lead singer Damien Abraham sat in on the podcast recently with Nick and I, and as you'll hear, it was just three guys catching up, swapping stories, and again, the episode is just a mere slice of the time we all spent together that day. Damien Abraham, besides being an incredible frontman for Fucked Up, offstage is an absolutely hilarious, fun guy to be around, and his enthusiasm and love for music can really rub off on you. Our talk was just the tip of the iceberg, but Damien has, as you'll hear, has already promised us a part two. Again, I have to say a big thank you to Blue Mic Microphones and their Yeti mics, Skull Candy headphones, and drumroll please, Vans shoes, for providing us with foot comfort as we discuss and babble. Also, thank you to everyone for your reviews and your ratings in your respective iTunes stores in your respective countries. We appreciate it so much, and please keep them coming. Okay, everybody, hold on to your hats, because Damien Abraham is this episode's guest on the official Danko Jones podcast, and it starts now. We're starting.
We're on.
Does red light mean this is on?
No. It means
stop.
It's on. Okay. It's all good. And I'm getting a good separate sound wave from everybody, so it's all good.
Awesome.
Hi.
Hey, welcome. Guys. Thank you for having me.
Welcome to the Danko Jones. Sorry, I'm not. I know I'm not supposed to do that, but I felt like doing that.
You've done it on a few episodes where you take the reins.
I want to be the McMahon.
Well, that's one way of looking at it. Some of you would be like, you're the Baba Booey.
I am the best. I wish I booked this guest. I brought this next guest.
It's true.
This guest.
Yeah. It's true.
But you know, I emailed you, too.
That's true. Yeah. I went through my emails today, and I recently have started smoking marijuana, as these gentlemen have heard.
Like, how recently?
Nonstop.
This is like a two-year-old.
No, it's like a year. Right? It's really? Just over a year now. And sometimes I read emails, and I'm like, I could have sworn... Because I was offended that I wasn't asked, and then I was going back to the emails, and I found I must have read the email after smoking some pot that
you wrote me.
And yes, so thank you for having me, guys.
And who are you always on the list.
Who am I?
We haven't even introduced him. It's Damien Abraham from Fucked Up. We were talking about you
Damien,
on the last podcast
Damien.
With Wade, and he's here. So thanks a lot, Damien.
No, Wade, me. When you said he's here, they could assume Wade's here.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Sometimes when...
Or God's here.
I listen back to the podcast, I realize what I'm doing, because people don't see it, is I'm actually the tech for the podcast as well. So...
DIY.
Yeah.
So if you're listening to this podcast and you're like, why does Danko sound so anxious all the time? It's because.
So I will try to make eye contact with you guys as much as possible. Nick, you know the routine, but.
I'm used to no eye contact.
Also,
off it's less awkward afterwards if you don't do the eye contact.
Right.
Yeah. I've had that experience.
But then I hear on the podcast as well, Nick slips in all these lines that I don't get because I've got my attention diverted.
Nobody gets them.
Until I listen back.
Yeah.
But Damien
Easter
Abraham is here from Fucked Up. The singer from Fucked Up, Spin Magazine cover boy.
He's on Coke.
Coca-Cola. Jeez.
Not sponsoring.
Not sponsored. Those guys.
Yeah, dude, what are you doing?
Those guys burn down entire continents.
They do.
Fuck.
And I reap the flavorful benefits.
As you have mentioned at the top of the podcast, you are now a new pot smoker.
I am.
I am not, and I've gone on record And I've
well, at
known
one point, you
before.
And I were going to start a straight edge band.
That's a lot of people don't know this, but we
you
were.
Me and Dallas Green.
No wow. one knows this. I've never spoken about it to anybody. But
so,
I wanted to do a straight edge band in the style of Zeke and the Dwarves,
which would have been amazing.
That would have been awesome.
Would have been so confusing for that fan base.
No, it's like straight.
Yeah, no, I don't. I musically it makes sense, but I just picture you guys touring with like Speed Dealer, Zeke, and X.
Exactly.
No, exactly. X energy drink only
and,
X.
And hit the hotel right away. I would have probably been on bass. Dallas would be on guitar.
And I can only do one thing.
Right, the classic move. The high five, vocal, buddy.
Boom,
we don't know how to do anything.
Actually, I remember the first time, one of the first times I ever met you, Nick, was Teen Crud opening for the Swarm comeback show.
Teen Crud combo.
And you smoked weed, and I was like, what a loser. And here I am now being like, yo, I should have known then how cool he was to chill.
Yeah.
And that was before our infamous Dave Foley party night.
That was a big night. But I want to go back to the smoking weed before the hardcore show thing. Great idea, first of all. Think of how boring and awkward the hardcore scene is because of not smoking weed. But then, of course, there's the flip side, which is like that whole like hat, you know, flipped, brim
party
flipped
thrash.
Up, party thrash thing. Also irritating.
Irritating.
I don't really know.
No, you're kind of like, I think, you know, I don't take anything away from being straight edge. Like that was like, for me, if I hadn't been straight edge in that time, I don't think I ever would have found who I am, and I certainly wouldn't be doing what I'm doing now.
Maybe that's why I haven't found who I am.
That's true. Because I wasn't functional until, like, you know, now that I smoke pot, now I know how unfunctional smoking pot makes you.
I think I'm
incredibly
that.
Unfunctional.
But were you functional?
You have a lot of amazing ideas, but just not a lot of follow through on said amazing ideas.
Yeah, that's true. You really got to pick one and just roll with
it.
Yeah. But I want to hear more about this band. So, okay, Danko was on bass, doing gang backing vocals.
We never practiced.
No, we never jammed. We just talked about
it. Did you have names? Did you have any
names? And I talked about it with Dallas and Damien separately.
Separately, yeah. We never were in the city at the same time.
Super group. How long ago was this?
4 years ago?
Yeah, 4 years ago.
4 years ago?
Yeah. And I still think it's a great idea.
Oh, it would have been. But I don't think we are the people to pull it off now.
No, not anymore.
Now it wouldn't be straight.
I'm still straight. I'm still straight. I still got my edge.
But you have you might drink a beer, right?
No, I don't drink beer.
Lemmy hands
I will
you a
have
beer.
No, Lemmy will hand you a Jack and Coke. Okay. I will drink that.
So you'll drink spirits.
When we were on tour with Motorhead, I passed his dressing room one day, and he motioned me to come in. Uh-huh. And this was while the guys were upstairs doing sound check. And when Lemmy hands you a Jack and Coke, A, you drink it.
Yeah.
And B, it's like 1/10 Coca-Cola and 9/10 Jack Daniels.
Yeah.
So I was drinking, and just the buzz of being in the same room with Lemmy, and we started talking about things, and it was a great hang.
Yeah.
And I just kept drinking more out of enthusiasm that I'm there, and I didn't feel the and when I got up, I almost fell over.
Right.
And I went upstairs for sound check, and I was like the happiest guy, which I'm usually not.
Right.
On the afternoon on tour, and everybody was kind of whispering to themselves. And then I just went up to JC and I go, I was just down there drinking. I'm actually drunk at, you know, 4 in the afternoon. So
How was the show that night?
It was a good show.
Did you take a nap?
I was sober.
Between
I was sober by then.
Yeah. In your defense, I know some womb-to-tomb straight-edge kids that have said that if Lemmy offered them a line of speed, they'd do it. Because it's Lemmy. You know, it's like, that's like the...
So really, it's like womb to Lemmy to tomb.
Womb to Lemmy.
If Keith Richards hands me a mirror with a line of coke, I'm probably going to do it.
But he for sure has hepatitis, so you got to make sure that you're not using
just
the
just so he's the same strong.
I think he has hepatitis. But he says he beat hepatitis, actually, in his book.
Well, because they wash his blood?
He denies that pretty strongly, that any of that blood transfusion stuff happens. He does say that he went to Jamaica or whatever to, like, help get over this, like, strain of hepatitis he got.
To the power of marijuana.
Right, to the power of marijuana.
Amounts of marijuana.
Neither of you guys read that book?
No. I haven't. It's
worth the read.
You know what I'm reading right now, actually? The Duff McKagan book.
How's that?
Oh, wow.
Amazingly
Is it called
even-handed.
Duff of a Salesman?
No, it's not. It's called It Ain't Easy. Or It's So Easy, I think.
So Rough.
It's
So Easy. So
but rough, rather, I, was like, I thought it was a play. I was huge. Yeah. I'm still like a big Guns N' Roses fan.
Yeah.
Not the you know.
Not like Use Your Illusion 2?
Well, I actually loved
Use Your Illusion. Yeah, there's some good shit on.
When we were on the GNR tour,
I know,
you
I
wanted Dizzy Reed's autograph.
Autograph for my brother. My brother had an airbrushed white leather jacket with Axl Rose's face on it.
Nice.
That's amazing.
I owe you that autograph. I'll
don't worry. I remember hearing reports from that because that was the infamous Ireland show.
We were on that show.
I know.
What happened in Ireland?
That was the riot. There was a riot. And you guys had to play for an hour or long, 2 hours?
Like? About 70, 80 minutes. Wow. And basically what it was we came on, and before we went on, the stage manager said, you're probably going to have to extend it 15 minutes. So we did a quick huddle, threw in the other songs that got the cut that night. And when we were on 45 minutes, JC just kept doing this, like, come on, keep it going, keep it going. Because that's what they were telling him to do.
Yeah.
And we were running out of songs. And the audience was really patient for a band that, you know, they didn't really pay to see.
Yeah.
They were being inundated with a full headlining set. And then we were in our dressing room and we were just hanging out, and it was such a long hangout that we were just like, where's the music? When we walked out of our dressing room, the whole GNR band are going back in, and they were like, that's it. Then one of the guys in the crew said, you either leave now because there's probably going to be a riot, or you stay for the entire night till 4 a.m. or whatever and wait it out. So we fucking packed up our bags and we got the fuck out of there.
Bailed.
We bailed.
It's a good tale. I mean, except for the fact that you didn't see anything.
But you had already played with GNR.
Last year we did 10 countries with them.
Yeah.
We played. They took us all over the world.
So you didn't miss. You know, I prefer to have that as my, like, you know, now you have a GNR riot story. You know?
Yeah, no, that's amazing.
Montreal, GNR, Metallica.
That was the big story.
Yeah. St. Louis.
That was sort of my introduction to, like, rock and roll was not being at that
show. No, but hearing about it.
Hearing about it, because that show had just happened at Maple Leaf Gardens in Toronto. And my friend, I don't know if he had he might have had a tour shirt. They probably made a tour shirt for that tour.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, these are three bands I should care about. Metallica, Faith No More, and Guns N' Roses. And because I'd been mostly into, like, rap music in my elementary school days, because I grew up in, like, sort of this weird, like, mixed up school that was, like, kids from everywhere. And then I went to this, like, totally not that high junior high. And I was like, fuck, I gotta get into rock really fast. Because I went with some of the kids from my old school, but I was not in the class with them. So I, like, made friends with this, like, rocker dude. And I was like, okay, just tell me everything. I was like, getting along with him. Then I switched classes. And my old hip-hop friends were, like, in the new class. And then my friend was like, what? I thought you liked rock. And then I got the poser. I got
called the poser. Poser tag.
Yeah. And that man, that friend of mine's name was Nick Flanagan. It was myself that I was battling with.
This is like that move. This is like a movie written by M. Night Shyamalan.
Yeah, that was – I just slam-lammed you guys.
Just for the record, I just want to say that was probably the only time – where there was any kerfuffle, the rest of the year with GNR, it was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And that night was awesome too.
Oh, it's just ridiculous. That. Like, I can only imagine. The day I bought Use Your Illusions Volume 1 and 2, I also bought NWA record on import, and the guy wouldn't let me buy it until I could tell him what the NWA stood for. He wouldn't let Sam the Record Man wouldn't sell it to me until I'm not supposed to say that word, sir. I spelt it with like dropping a letter.
He could have been charged with like sexual harassment, I think, in 2012 for doing that.
Probably. Yeah. It was really awkward. But you can't do that. Record store. Like, no one would put that in a record store. It's like, oh, really? Well, fuck you. I'm going to go home and download it. Peace.
Imagine you did that with KMFDM.
What does KMFDM stand for? What does the MF stand for? Well, people say it stands for motherfucking. And it's before Depeche Mode. Okay. You can now listen to this subpar industrial music.
Really?
Dave Foley Party Night was when I was still in high school.
Oh.
Dude,
do you want to hear the Dave Foley Party Night story?
Yeah.
This is like the best story. Okay, so this is like Teen Crud Combo was the toast of North by Northeast, or was it Canadian Music Week?
Yeah, we had that weird thing where we were...
That's your old band.
Yeah, my old band. We were slugging it out in Toronto.
In my opinion, one of the most underappreciated great bands of Toronto.
Definitely.
I think Allison put a lot of work into the songwriting.
Yeah, but everything about it is
just
so perfect.
And the recording and everything. It was like the recorded output I'm happy with.
Allison Baker, who's now in Dirty Ghosts.
Dirty Ghosts. DirtyGhosts.com.
So what happened at the
So they were the toast of the town, and I was doing Mods and Rockers at the time. So we were both kind of like somehow on the inside of the Canadian music industry wall.
And we were you at the show that ended?
Yeah.
And did we go together?
Yeah,
that
we all went afterwards, and I went with JC.
Right.
And we all heard, hey.
JC, by the way.
Jeff Cohen.
Jeff Cohen. Yeah. Not John Calabrese.
No. Jeff Cohen, huge promoter in Toronto, local promoter. But and he's like, we're all going to the Mary Margaret O'Hara's house for a party.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, Catherine O'Hara's sister, forgetting, of course, that she's also a renowned recording artist in her own.
No,
right.
But I was similar. I was like, oh, I love the O'Hara family.
Because he is the comedy fan.
Yeah. I think I might have even told her that night that I thought her sister was awesome.
I might have done the same thing too.
So we go, Nick and I go there, and we were definitely the youngest people there. That was
you're actually older than me, I think.
I'm 32.
Yeah, and I'm 31. But the funniest thing is, like,
you make it seem like I'm like 57. Like,
no, you're actually
older than
me. But you and Sandy from Fucked Up, both of you are slightly older than me. But your enthusiasm levels when I first met you was so high that I was like, oh, these people are like 14 years old for sure.
Well, because also Nick's acting like he's like above it all. Nick was rolling with a yak back, and the only reason you were more mature than us is because Allison Baker took you under her wing.
Why do I think I'm more mature when I brought a yak back to a party?
He had a yak back to this party.
It's a toy for 11 year olds.
So this party was like a real eye opener for me. It's the first time I ever saw someone smoke pot out of an apple. Dave Doman from Swearing
and
Motors.
Yeah, we did that. And then Sunrise.
Yeah.
I think it was like when we stayed at the party.
This is when I was still straight.
Sun came up.
I also saw people do cocaine. And this is before, this is in that weird period where now I realize it was just a lull for cocaine.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Mid-90s cocaine lull. Like, 1995 to 98,
And then all of a sudden it was like, oh, people love this stuff again. But at that point, like, I'd never seen someone like, and I'm like, oh my God, I wonder if they're going to have a heart attack. And I'm not going to say who did it in front of everyone, but it was someone we all knew. And I'm like, I hope they don't have a heart attack in front of me.
I'll give you a clue. It was Toronto mayor at the time, Mel Lastman.
But then also allegedly there was a slightly bloated, and I believe from hearing the Marc Maron podcast now, recently divorced, Dave Foley.
Probably at that time he was divorced. He was with a woman at that party.
Well, he was with the actress that actually was also in Brain Candy. An actress that was in Brain Candy. I'm not going to say anymore because I just don't want to.
We're really towing the line. We have this party story that's like, there was coke.
First of all, I don't know. Turn this podcast into a Toronto rock star sex secret thing. I know so many dirty secrets.
Okay, well, just
I
give
know
us
a few myself.
But, give but, us, well, I want to hear
but,
all these.
No, but then Dave Foley comes up to Nick and I, who are both, we're huge.
Big fans.
News radio is amazing.
Scott Thompson.
But even then. News radio was great, but for sure, Kids in the Hall was probably the main thing for us.
But this was just after TV on the Radio was finished, so that's why
TV on the Radio.
TV on the Radio. Just after we finished with TV on the Radio.
You have so many names of things in your head.
But it's just after News Radio was over, and he comes up to Nick and I and goes, yo, do you guys know where I can get some E? Yeah. And we're both like...
What? Can we put this story on here?
He asked us.
He asked us if we had ecstasy. He was like, guys got ecstasy. And it was like.
He was wasted by this point, too.
I really want to put this story on.
I think we can.
Can we?
No, yeah. Like, it's not like we're like,
I don't know.
Last year. This is like 16 years
let's
ago.
Let's say that.
Yeah, okay.
But in Dave Foley, I want to put this story out there so that you can someday come on this podcast and maybe.
Did you hear on that Marc Maron podcast?
It was great, but very depressing. That was what Scott Thompson was talking about in the interview with us. He was kind of like a little bit bummed on the fortunes of certain kids. But you know what a lot of those fortunes have to do with? Marrying people two times. You know, like that, you have two like alimonies you're dealing with.
Yeah.
I
think it also comes from being like, they were like, fortunes. To go from being like a Canadian... you know, kind of reasonably known star to being someone that's actually getting attention internationally, that's got to be a bit of a mind messer.
Well, know? That was another thing that Scott said to us that he definitely has.
I like how I censored myself.
What, a mind messer?
It's a mind messer. It messes with your mind. Yo, mind fucker.
Mind messer were one of the better Toronto bands in 1991. Man. Mind messer. The demo? You got to hear the demo.
But like, yeah, no, and then Nick starts recording Dave Foley's voice and yakking it back to him with his yak back. And start really messing with Dave Foley's head at this
point. He's like, it's a tool of the devil. Yeah. And I was like, oh wow, Dave Foley just said something in the spirit of Dave Foley. This is great.
Not in the spirit of this dark, depressing dude that's asked trying to score E off two 17-year-olds.
But that was—I mean—that party was so funny because there was so. I feel like Nico Case was there.
I'm sure she was.
Like it was really a thing.
Dan Burke was definitely there.
Dan, there was.
Oh, I'm sure we can mention his name without editing that.
Yeah, there was lots of people there at this party, which was not an illicit party. Particularly,
No, it wasn't. Like, it wasn't a drug party.
Yeah, to give you an well, you did start it by saying that you saw weed and cocaine.
But that was like my first time seeing it. That's how like rare it is. It was more of a music industry.
Now you really gotta go back and remember that it was just pot and hash and even like mushrooms and stuff.
Yeah.
Without the cocaine aspect, because that really kind of, that's a different drug scene in itself.
Well, yeah, because it just, and it also like, because I guess it was like crazy expensive back then. It must be cheap now. Yeah.
I don't know. That's a great question. Let's call the 90s.
It's funny. When you finally see someone do cocaine in front of you, there aren't any like firecrackers that go off. Like in my head, it's like cocaine. And it's accompanied with like, you know, kids' drugs, anti-drugs commercials and songs and jingles.
Are they going to OD? Are they becoming addicted right in front of me?
And they just did it and there was no background music, and
I don't like seeing people. There's two drugs I don't like seeing people do, and if I ever see someone do heroin in front of me, I'll probably add it to the list. But I would say seeing someone do cocaine is not really fun to watch.
No, it's not.
And then I've seen people smoke crack in front of me too, and that's probably the most insane thing to see someone do, and because they sort of do it as a fuck you.
Being sober, which I've been
many
times
around, that's kind of weird to
see too. People who are high on coke, is really fucking annoying.
Yeah, you can't deal with it. But you can't go to a party.
It's not as annoying as drunk people, but fucking.
What about drunken on coke?
That's when they just get aggressive.
I have a friend who he starts speaking in like a series of clicks when he's drunk and probably all gacked up, as they say on the streets.
That's what I hear.
Go, he was gacked.
I knew on this Bruise Cruise we played last weekend.
We should talk about your band at some point.
No, we don't. But I knew on that weekend, I'm like down there and I'm like, did you notice how weird the weed was? What color it was? And the guy's like, no, I know the cocaine was still white. And I'm like, oh, this guy's on definitely a different sort of trip than I'm on.
You know, it's my dream?
It's interesting.
Doing this coke and being stuck on a boat for a couple of days. Holy shit.
The first time I met you
mm-hmm.
was not here.
No, it was here. Because I've met you several times. The first time we became friends.
Oh, boy.
No, okay. The very, very first time I ever met you was backstage at the concert hall when you were playing the Exclaim party.
Oh, God. Was I an asshole?
No. But it was also, like, at that point.
This was Danko Jones, not an earlier band?
No, it was Danko Jones. Yeah. It was Danko Jones. And then another time was you came, and this was the coolest time. This one, I knew you were cool then because like everyone was like, "Oh, he's cool." He's like, blah blah blah. Because it was like Danko Jones, larger than life character, and like everyone I knew you, right? And like was like, you know, he's a cool dude. But the time that I knew how down you were is when you came to the Lions Club, and it was a show my band opened, Don Louis, not fucked up. But which also Mike Halachek was in, uh-huh. and you came down and performed with Countdown to Oblivion. And
I remember that. Yeah,
didn't we play that show?
I don't know if Teen Crud played.
I feel like
saw Teen didn't. But Teen Crud didn't play.
Teen
to the Teen.
But we did. We played with Death Threat and Countdown, and I feel like I saw. Oh yeah, no, you sang with us. That's what I'm
I sang with
of.
Teen Crud combo once.
Yeah, but you came out and did like a Youth of the Day, Minor Threat, and a Black Flag song.
It was a Negative Approach.
A Negative Approach song.
Yeah.
What negative approach song? Nothing.
I can't even remember, man.
No, it was a fast one. It was definitely a fast
Maybe it was
one.
A Minor Threat song, too.
Yeah, because you came out and it was just like guns blazing. But, like,
but then with the time we actually became friends.
When I knew it was you, you fucked up was already like, well, I know we met in Holland.
In Holland.
At the Lowlands Festival.
Holland Lowlands, yeah.
And I think I've told this, not on this podcast, but a CBC podcast.
I told an interviewer this year at Holland's Lowlands because we played again, and he's like, so you've played this festival before? And I'm like, it was the coolest day because it was like we hung out. I went over to your stage and I'm like, hey, it's cool to meet you. And I remember you just being like, hey.
Well, see, I had been given this whole backstory on the singer from Fucked Up is crazy and he does all this crazy stuff on stage. And then I looked at the pictures on Hidden World and it was just this kind of black and white fuzzy photo, so I couldn't make you out, so I didn't know who they were still talking about. So I liked Hidden World and I really liked Fucked Up, and I remember telling everybody after we finish our show I want to go see Fucked Up, but I think Holy Fuck, that other band, was playing either the same day or another day. I got the F words mixed up, and I was actually on my way out or something to try and catch your set.
And I also ran into you.
Yeah, and I also mentioned to all the guys, I'm like, yeah, but they probably fucking hate us. He probably fucking hates me. And so I ran into you, and you introduced yourself, and I was taken aback that you were not anything that I was told, that you were it was too nice a guy, and we ended up hanging out for the whole day.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that was, and then we went and had lunch in that room. Yeah. And Tricky was eating right in front of us.
Tricky.
What was he eating?
Was Tricky there?
Trip Hopper.
I can't remember.
I don't know what he was eating. There's a huge candy table.
Was he eating trip popcorn?
All the bands eat in this area together.
Yeah, that's what I love most about playing festivals, is because that's when, even if you're a band like Fucked Up, who's normally playing an early slot on a small stage. Mm-hmm. You have the possibility to rub elbows with these people, and like being a music nerd like I am, and anytime I know anyone's slight connection to some weird obscure band that I love, I want to talk to them about it, and that's where I've met so many people.
So many people.
Just like,
have people shut you down? Because you're so gregarious. I feel like that people generally respond probably pretty well, but
there's a couple of people that I've kind of like been like, oh, they're not. But normally it's me being like, I don't really want to go up and talk to him. But normally, like, I kind of think that if you come from punk and hardcore, you're going to have at least some grounding in
some
reality.
Level of groundedness. Yes. Yeah. So even if you're pissed off, it might actually be chalked up to just, well, this is the fucking moment. This is the moment here.
Yeah, because like Rollins, but I think Rollins is pretty jaded to
people. He would have been the guy that I would have dropped.
Yeah.
And I've met him a few times.
Yeah, and he's like, I met him recently and it was good.
He's cool.
He saw you guys. I remember on MTV, like, it's so funny, the thing with Fucked Up, it's so crazy, because there was like, there's so many different sort of sediments of in the rock now. So there was a time you played MTV Canada.
The first time.
Yeah, which I didn't go to, but I knew that Rollins was a guest on it. That episode, and it sounded like he interacted mildly with you.
Yeah, he came. Well, here's what happened. This was like, and this is also after I'd had like pretty pleasant experiences meeting people in bands, but he was in the dressing room right beside ours. And so I just left our dressing room. His door was open. I went to walk in and say, hey. Mm-hmm. And I had my SOA 7-inch with me. And
nice.
I had my Damage to get signed. And I'm like, hey. And then his publicist gets like, stops like right in my face. He's like, where are you going? Like, I just want to say hi to Henry. And he wasn't very far away. And he's like, well, that's not going to happen. And then I'm like, okay. So I just go back to our dressing room. Then they brought him in. And he was like, hey, nice to meet you guys, whatever. And then I brought up some really obscure band from his book. Oh, Pure Hell, which is one of the first African-American punk bands from New York. And they're just amazing. And he brought up their 7-inch. It's a really kind of obscure 7-inch. And I'm like, I love that you talk about Pure Hell in your book, because no one knows about that record. And as soon as you mentioned that, he like, you know, was like, oh, okay, let's chat. Let's hang out. And then we had to go play, and we walked away from a mid story. I'm like, I really want to hear the rest of this. And he was like, fine, walk away while I'm talking to you. And I'm like, I have to play.
He was joking.
I think he was joking, but still I was just like, That's Rollins.
It's kind of hard to tell with him, it seems.
But like, I've met him a few times, too. And one time I met him was at backstage at the Mike Bullard show.
Okay. Mike Bullard, by the way, is Canada's most famous talk show.
Right. It was a nighttime talk show.
Yeah.
For not being watched.
For not being... Yes. The most famous unwatched talk show.
A friend of mine was working at the Mike Bullard show, and she called me up, and she said... She knew I was a big Rollins fan. Yeah. She goes... Henry's here. Come down at such and such time. That's when the guests can meet people. So I came there. I get there. She goes, okay, this is the situation. I'm like, oh, crap, man. And she goes, he hasn't come out of his dressing room the whole day. He's been here. He's been with a friend. With quotes, his girl or whatever.
Sure.
He's been in there. They hasn't come out.
Yeah.
So I was just like, ah, crap. Okay, well, you know, I'm here early than I wanted to be. So they said, well, let's see what we can do. So one of the girls goes into his room. And now I'm just going, well, this is crazy. He comes out. He's pissed. He is pissed. And I didn't even want to meet him at this point. I just said, fuck it. He's right in front of me, and he goes. They introduce us, and you know, he shook my hand. He broke my hand, and when he did it, he looked at me like he was basically telling me,
he's like,
"Go fuck yourself."
Yeah, and he was
breaking my hand, and I didn't.
This is so funny.
I didn't look away. I just kept my stare right at him, and then I handed him our EP.
Oh no!
And that's when he. Kind of turned around and got light a bit. He goes, oh, this your thing? That's exactly what he said. And he goes, great, we'll rock it on the bus.
Yeah.
Cool, but, you know, I should have handed him the EP before the handshake.
Have I told my Rollins meeting stories on this show?
No, you haven't.
It's a tiny story. I was working at a record, as Cash at Sam the Record Man, this very large record chain, and Rollins was there, I guess with maybe with the actress lady, who he was allegedly...
Jeannie Garofalo?
No.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
From Sliders. I don't know if they dated, but that was what they were saying at the time. And he comes to my fucking... You know, Cash.
Till, yeah.
Yeah, and my till. Thank you for remembering the name of what a Cash
was. I always wanted to work in a record store. I know all the lingo.
Yeah. And, and it's Rollins, and I'm like, hey, how's it going? How's the show? How's the show last night? Because they just played. And he's like, it's good. It's good. How's tour? It's like, it's a struggle.
That's awesome.
Totally said it was a struggle. And I was like, I got this card. It can get you 15% off. You want to sign up for a discount program here? I think it's buying Rocky Erickson. I just love that. I don't know. The Rollins man touring, you know, he's touring is still a struggle.
Oh, yeah. Well, like, yeah.
True.
We were on that Foo Fighters tour, and Dave Grohl's like, man, I hate days off because I just go into my own head. And I'm like, wow, and you have every distraction in the world at your disposal.
Just walk on the street,
and you are still like still finding touring hard because you still miss your family. Like
it's a tough.
It doesn't matter how rich or famous you are, you still miss your family.
Well, because the problem is, you know, like as you get more successful, you're also aging, and your needs are changing, and you're still fucking stuck in this like running wheel or whatever.
Yeah.
Before we take off, I do want to ask something about the fucked ups right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
So are you on a hiatus? Is that what's going on? Because I remember talking to people in the band like a few months ago, and I heard there was going to be like a slight hiatus.
There was going to be a slight hiatus, but then it's one of those things where, and you know this, if you're not touring in a band, you are not making money.
There's no revenue security.
There is no, like, and, you know, we're not like a band that can get a lot of syncs, which is something that a lot of bands do.
Yeah.
So it's really down to like... finding ways to make it work. But yeah, we're kind of like trying to take a little bit of a break. Cause last year, I think I lost my mind. I really felt I lost my mind touring.
Yeah.
Like I was just like becoming someone I didn't really like and just like miserable. And it's like taking for granted, like all I ever wanted, you know, this is all I ever wanted as a 15-year-old kid. Like I didn't want to be in a really famous band. I wanted to be in a band that was like famous enough that I could meet Thurston Moore and like talk to Jay Maskus and like, right. you know, yeah, meet Henry Rollins. And like, these are the people that I cared about. Like,
yeah.
And it's like, this is all I ever wanted. And like, it was weird. Cause one of the first bands that I really got into, and I got out of them really quickly, was the Foo Fighters. Like the Foo Fighters I was like super into because I was into Nirvana, and then Nirvana ended, uh-huh. and then I'd heard rumors of this band, the Foo Fighters, and yeah. it was going to be Dave Grohl's new band.
Yeah.
And I remember going to see them when they opened for Mike Watt in Toronto at the Opera House and buying like a bootleg tape the next day in Graffiti Alley. Do you remember that sort of Graffiti Alley?
Of course, I remember Much Graffiti music. Alley.
Yeah, upstairs. Yeah. Yeah. yeah.
Next to cassettes.
It was the best. The it was like the alternative yeah. mall, yeah, basically. Yeah. Yeah. There was like the Wiccan store and the record store and the rave store. Yeah. Oh, I fucking loved Graffiti Alley.
Bootleg tapes of that one store.
That, yeah. And the bootleg store, yeah.
And I bought like a bootleg of that Mike Watt Foo Fighters show. And like, here I am like, you know, 17, 18 years later, on this tour opening for the Foo Fighters, and I've got this tape that I bought, and I'm like, yo, I bought this bootleg like when I saw you guys and I made you guys copies.
That's awesome.
But it's like, that's like, this is all I wanted. Like, and then like last year I just lost sight of that, you know, like that this is all I wanted.
And that was because you were just too wrapped up in it?
I was like, I think I was wrapped up in it, but I think I was also just like really missing home.
Yeah.
Really missing.
Hey, dude, I hear you, man.
And yeah, and you exactly. Yeah. Like, yeah. I'm not, I don't mean like, yeah, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Nick has no idea. This piece of shit here has no idea our burden. It's a struggle, as Rollins said.
I have gone on tour.
Yeah,
before.
Right, Nick. Yeah, right. You've been on tour with the Foo Fighters, with Guns N' Roses? No, then you stay in this conversation.
I've been on tour with
you did a
drug stop.
Yeah, you went. And, you went.
I've been on tour with drug stop from Germany. No, I don't know.
No, I'm just kidding.
Like, I've toured with Matt and Kemp.
That's true. You have toured with Matt and Kemp.
And the Circle Jerks, which I could not do. For, so. I could.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I had Keith Morris walk up to me and go, Brittle Nights, cool.
Keith is another guy, like, yeah. as much as we were talking about, like...
Off?
But yeah, but Keith is like a dude that just is like, he's been going to shows.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
knows
yeah.
every band.
Yeah.
Still buys music.
It's like Jello Biafra, right?
Jello Biafra is the exact thing. Same way.
Oh, like, dude. Certain, fucking, when Jello yeah. came to our show in San Francisco, it was backstage.
I just went on the cruise with him. He was on that cruise.
He's Jello awesome. Biafra was on that cruise?
He's fucking,
he was on a boat for 2 days with, like, you
Jello is
leave?
Like a fucking wicked dude.
Oh, he's an
like,
awesome dude.
It's yeah. so cool that, like, these people that you grew up, like, almost worshipping, end up being cool, like Ian and Jello.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Fuck.
And also that they're not jaded by the fact that they were there. Like, there yeah. is nothing you can right. show them that they haven't seen. Like, there's nothing.
And Henry.
And Henry. Yeah. Like, I think Henry shows it a little more.
Yeah.
Whereas
sure.
Jello and Keith, and I guess Ian too, but mainly Jello and Keith.
Nardwar.
And Nardwar too. But these are guys that just like love music and yeah. care about bands, and they're checking out new bands and they're recommending bands to you.
I mean, what it does is it like validates the whole concept.
Oh, it does, absolutely.
The
it would put you in the same continuum.
Yeah.
You know, speaking of Henry again, I just remembered this. What was it? In 2010, I believe. Was it 10? Where? Yeah, 2010. We played Pukkelpop in Belgium.
Okay, yeah.
And the same day, like an hour before, after Henry Rollins was speaking at another stage, I waited outside of his dressing room with a burnt, digitized bootleg tape I had made of his spoken word show in '89.
Wow,
that's awesome!
At an all ages show at the back of the Rivoli, and I waited and I waited to give it to him, and he never went to his dressing room.
Really?
Never. I fucking.
So you actually recreated sort of like a teenage moment 20 years later or whatever, right?
Here like, you are, like, playing high up on a bill at Pukkelpop, still finding a way to feel dejected.
Very low. I do that all the time. Like, you have these lucky encounters, Damien, I feel, where, you know, you're like, hey, Jay Maskus, how are you doing? Meanwhile, I'd be like, hey, Jay. it's like, you know. Jay
is someone that I think I bullied into being my friend.
Yeah.
I just wouldn't take no for an answer. Like, right. Most people, when Jay's like, does that thing, which he does to everyone, which is like, Blake just doesn't
stare at you,
talk back to you.
Yeah.
I was just the guy going like, yeah, but what about that time Deep Wound did this show with like Negative Effects? Like, and I'm like, and eventually he just like, broke down.
I think sometimes untalkative people, it is good to talk at
them
Kevin
Shields,
a long time.
Kevin Shields is the same way. Like,
you know Kevin Shields?
Yeah, like he's another one that I just like forced to be my friend. Like, I like your stuff, so I'm going to make you see what I see in you, in me.
But you got to get it so these guys will take a bullet for you, literally.
Well, literally. I'm not saying it, but Kevin has.
Oh, no.
Can't say anymore.
No, is that why the Valentine is bloody? So wait, so you were miserable in this past year. I was just reading the interviews, and I'd talk to you, and I'd see you, and it would just seem like there was like, you said fucked up, the whole plan was for them to tour with a different singer than you.
I just wanted to like, because I wanted to figure it away, because like that's the problem, is that when I want to stop touring, the party's over for them. And it's like, I'm just as much a member of this band as they are. Like, there's no, I'm not sitting there writing these guitar riffs, going into practice, being like, yo, play this now. Uh-huh. Or like Mike and I split lyric writing. Uh-huh. Mike is the visionary. So I was like, well, why does it have to stop just because I can't do it? Like, they should find a way to, and like, that is ridiculous. Like, as much as that works on paper.
Personality is as a lie, as an ambassador of the band, essentially. It's just the nature of media.
It's like, they focus on the singer.
But yeah.
Can we talk about what you brought up in the car?
About them?
No, about that band. Terps.
About
Terps.
Terps? Absolutely. Yeah, no, I thought you were meant about.
Oh, no, absolutely.
Okay,
so you were taught, coming over here, we were talking about how Turbo Negro asked, a lot of people don't know, I didn't know, Turbo Negro asked you if you want Happy Tom from Turbo, if you wanted to front Turbo Negro.
Which for me is like, Turbo Negro, you know, is one of the greatest modern rock bands
ever.
It was just like here, and that's another great example. Like Hank, as much as he's the focal point, he is not the band. Happy Tom is writing the songs,
and I think and that like, to some extent with Turbo Negro, because they're a band that's wrapped around a bit of a concept.
Yeah,
you know, I think that they're not viewed as just their singer.
That's
and
true.
I don't think that there's that's a true. Lot. Of, I don't okay. think there's a lot.
But he
of
does
bands
have a lot
are,
of focus.
He,
right?
For he, no, Hank you need is a guy like
one
that.
One of the Hank is one of the greatest frontmen I've ever
seen. I'm not trying to take away from that. He's incredible, and he's just a huge presence. You know, I got to see them for those reunion shows, years ago, and it was
we toured with them for those shows.
Yeah, and he was just like. So amazing, you know, as a frontman.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if they found, I can see it continuing. Is what I
mean.
Well,
that's the thing,
you know?
Right? And I, they asked me, and I agreed. Well, originally it was supposed to be we were going to do a new thing because they were like Hank's on his own trip now, and we want to do something new. And it was like, oh, that sounds amazing. Like I'd love to do something with Euroboy and Tom. Like, cause they're like, I think they're geniuses.
Yeah.
And like, I'd love to work with them. And then it became, well, we're going to do this Turbo Negro show, and we want you to sing. And I'm like, that's when I got scared, and I really chickened out. I literally chickened out, like, to the point where I'm embarrassed by it because I stopped, like, writing back because I was just so scared. Also, I was losing my mind and fucked up, too, at that point. But it was this last year, and I was just like, those are huge shoes to fill. And I'm friends with, like, every party involved, right? Like,
yeah.
And so I think I've seen the video footage. It looks awesome. And yeah, they should be able to go on.
So who's singing for them now?
It's from Dukes of Nothing. Yeah. And it's this dude from Dukes of Nothing who works at Southern in England. And he's like as down as you can get.
Right.
But those are big shoes to have to fill.
I kind of think that's a good call. English guy?
Well, that's like the one thing, right?
You
like,
got some weird, is he heavy?
Yeah, he is.
He's got a heavy guy. I think he comes on with a pork pie hat, and he's got the same Alice Cooper eyes and stuff.
Yeah.
See, that was the thing for me.
You
can
make it work.
I already have, and that's the spin cover. People have been like, yeah, why'd you dress up like Hank from Turbo Negro? Okay. And I'm like, oh, I didn't. But I already have that as a comparison enough where I'm like, I feel like that's someone that obviously, like, you know, himself, yourself, even you, Nick.
I love
like,
Turbo Negro.
No, but these are guys that I've like. Like, I'm just like a guy who stole from all these great front people.
Yeah, for sure.
Like,
yep, for
Chris
sure.
Callahan, like you guys, him, all these hardcore people we've talked about. Like, those are the people that I'm just cribbing shit from.
Yeah.
So then to have to, like, you know, if, like, you know, if Danko Jones asked me to become Danko Jones, or if, like,
it's weird.
If I had to even, you know, sing a Teen Cred combo reunion.
Or having to do those covers.
Which, Allison, if you're listening, I'm totally down to do. If
and
you
I've got
Nick,
shit to do, so you can
you
get Damien to sing.
For the Teen Cred combo reunion.
The Teen Cred combo reunion, like, with every song sung by a different Toronto luminary.
and they can't get inside.
Yeah, I'm home. But like, yeah, like those DirecTV.
It's hard to, because I think that would almost expose me. You know, like I'd be.
Yeah, but that's, you know, that's a good thing in a way. But on the to be exposed,
flip side, you know, I don't think Hank could be in fucked up. Well, no, so like, it works both ways.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I think anyone would have a hard time being anyone's role right, in yeah, a exactly. band.
Well, you know, we had a tour. We had someone tour, and you did this too. Both Damien and I have been in circumstances where our bands went on tour, and we were not singing for those bands.
It's the best advertisement you can have for yourself.
In his case, it was this guy, Beav, from a band called Urban Blight. And it was also way before Fuck. It was kind of when Fucked Up could get away with doing that.
Yeah. You know? Oh, I see.
And in another way, it kind of did set a precedent that maybe you could still try to do something
like
that.
Well, that's what I kind of thought, because we've actually done at least one show with at least one member of the band missing.
You were the only person. Well,
no, everyone's been replaced.
Right,
yeah. And we've done shows like Mike and Jonah weren't there when we opened for the Stooges.
Yeah,
Jonah's
which was crazy.
Yeah,
but it was still a good show.
Oh, so yeah, it was.
You had to really push it.
Yeah,
to make
but it was
it,
still like it was also that show. That show kind of showed me that like. Oh, there's a reason the Stooges are the Stooges.
Yeah, you guys, I don't want to sound like a jerk, but the Stooges really did. Like, Iggy Pop really is 100,000 times better than, like, everybody in rock and roll.
Oh, yeah. He's the king of rock
and roll. He did stage dives into, like, the third row of seats at Massey Hall. Fucking amazing.
But he also does something where it's, like, physical. Like, the presence is there no matter whether he's, like, running around or anything.
Or just standing there.
I wish they hadn't played Skull Ring. I'm still feeling weird that they played that
song. I really wish that their set list had been backwards.
If they started with Skull Ring?
Well, like...
Because they almost ended with Skull Ring.
But they also ended with everything off the Weirdness.
Yeah, yeah. Like it was like get it out of the way.
We just mix them up.
Yeah, but you push the new stuff by putting it at the front, not by bumming everyone out at the encore.
Yeah, you don't, really.
I didn't go to the show.
That was the last chance.
I
want to
be your
Ron
dog.
Ashton. Yeah, is that what they opened?
I want to be your dog. Mm.
Okay, we're running out of time, so
we want to go to eat some burritos.
We got to eat.
We got to pee.
Pee and eat. So we're gonna do. I got you on the mic now, Damien. You're coming back for a part.
I'm absolutely coming back.
Part two,
because we haven't gotten into like any of
anything,
the, any of the fun stories that we've all had.
We're
together.
Just fan
shared experiences.
Shared,
we did more. Tell the Dave Foley.
That's
one.
Our big story. That's
for
really...
sure not making it there.
So let's get to the point.
I was
let's
one
roll
just
another joint and turn the radio loud. I got that's how you guys sign off with Grateful Dead every week, right?
Dead disco, dead funk, dead rock and roll, my friend.
It was Metric, I forgot. It's Metric, so you sign off with every week.
We always sign off with
fan.
The Metric song.
I just can't remember the sign offs.
Monster Hospital, folks. You've been listening to the Monster Hospital podcast.
All right, so that's it. We'll do it again.
Absolutely.
For sure.
And now with the rot, all the sweetest smells that I forgot. Not the faintest stench of the old days. It's all just gone and drift away. Can those skeptics, harbingers of doom, negative epidemic, followers of doom.